Hey, good morning. This is Pastor Stoltz, and welcome to our Sunday worship. The scriptures that I will be reading shortly are as follows. Isaiah 35, verses 3 to 7. First Corinthians 13, 1 to 13. St. Luke 18, verses 31 to 43. My sermon theme is Jesus Gives Sight to the Blind, which is based on our gospel reading. May Almighty God grant that we may gladly hear thy word, and that all our worship may be acceptable unto you. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. To them that believe on his name he gives power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. O Lord, have mercy upon us. O Christ, have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks unto thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. And let us pray. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that being ever mindful of the end of all things and the day of thy just judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living, hear and dwell with thee forever hereafter. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. And we confess our faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us confess our sins and receive holy absolution. I now ask you before God who searches your heart, do you sincerely confess that you have sinned against God and deserve his wrath and punishment? Then declare so by saying, I do confess. And verily you should confess. Holy Scripture declares, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Do you heartily repent of all of your sins, committed in thought, word, and deed? Then declare so by saying, I do repent. And verily you should repent, as did the penitent sinners King David, who prayed for a contrite heart, Peter, who wept bitterly, the sinful woman, the prodigal son, and many others. Do you sincerely believe that God, by grace for Jesus' sake, will forgive you all of your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do believe. And verily you should believe. For Holy Scripture declares, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you promise that with the aid of the Holy Ghost you will henceforth amend your sinful life? Then declare so by saying, I do promise. And verily you should promise. For Christ the Lord says, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Finally, do you believe that through me, a called servant of God, you will receive the forgiveness of all your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do believe. And as you believe, even so may be it unto you. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The readings for this morning. The Old Testament, Isaiah 35, verses 3 to 7. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitations of the dragons, where each shall lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. So far. The Epistle, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 13. And though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and though I have all the faith so that I could remove mountains but do not have charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not believe itself unseemingly, seek not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For if we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And now I abide in faith, hope, and charity. These three are great, but the greatest of these is charity. So far. This morning's Gospel, St. Luke chapter 18. And then Jesus took unto himself the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated, and spit on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and the saying was hid from them. And neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked, What does this mean? And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried even more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise unto God. So far. As I said, my sermon is based upon the gospel reading. To begin with, how blind was Bartimaeus? Well, with his physical eyes, he could see nothing. It was necessary for him to beg because he couldn't see to work. He depended on the few coins which were given to him for his daily needs. His blindness put him into a lower class. But maybe he wasn't so blind after all. Perhaps he saw more on that day than anyone else. For instance, he knew that a crowd was passing by, and he asked what all the excitement was about. And he got the answer, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And with a flash of spiritual insight, he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And the crowd tried to shut him up. But that made him cry out even more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He didn't beat around the bush. Lord, that I may receive my sight. Here is a blind man that sees with God-given vision, a vision that the crowd did not have. He sees Jesus in all his merciful love. The multitude, pushing and crowding close to Jesus, was far blinder than Bartimaeus. With their eyes, they could see only a filthy beggar, interfering with their pleasure, trying to horn in. They saw themselves as fine people going to the Passover. They were worth much more than this beggar, who could only hand out his hand for a coin. But they could see Jesus too, and they were quite impressed. They loved to see his miracles, hear his sermons. Perhaps even some enjoyed the rich banquet which Jesus had prepared for the 5,000 people on the grassy slopes overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Yes, Jesus was good company to be traveling to Jerusalem with. Yet, this multitude had seen only a small portion of Christ's mission. They were blind to his real goal, that is, the salvation of lost sinners. To them, he was merely an entertainer. Some even wanted to make him king because he would make all things pleasant and comfortable for them. But many grew tired of this sort of thing and finally dropped away long before they even reached Jerusalem. And most of the rest, when they saw how things were going for him in Jerusalem, they also disappeared, only to reappear and join in the crowd a few weeks later, shouting out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" But even Christ's disciples were quite blind. For 3 years they had been with Jesus, seeing the signs and the wonders which he had performed. He had taken them aside and carefully explained to them how he must go to Jerusalem and that he must suffer and be crucified. And they should have been able to see much better than anyone. But their vision was marred by one blind spot, something they could not see. And that is how the love of God included going to Jerusalem and to death. Well, finally, we must ask, how blind are we? I'm talking about spiritual blindness. Is our spiritual vision at times not where it should be? Do we really see him only in times of trouble? To see God only then is a form of spiritual blindness. Or, I believe we are all acquainted with the full meaning of Christianity. We've heard it many times. But there can be a danger to that fact. The facts of Christ's death are plain enough. The reason for his death is equally obvious. But as we enter the Lenten season, do we try to stifle a yawn? We've heard it so many times. Every year the same facts are related to us in much of the same way. Do we become blind to the personal events through which Christ lived for us in our place? Has Lent become just another sequence in history? Something that happened 2,000 years ago with very little significance for us today? Is the cross just so much wood or metal mounted above the altar or thoughtlessly worn about our necks? Is this a blindness that seriously needs to be remedied? And it can be cured by Jesus Christ, who grants sight to the blind. Now, in his request for a sight, Bartimaeus showed that he had really seen God's love. He had recognized Jesus, the Son of God, as his Messiah. And knowing this love of God in Christ, he did not hesitate to bring to him a personal request for healing. So blind Bartimaeus said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And his physical sight was fully restored by the power of God. But he received an additional blessing of God, and that was the assurance of sins forgiven. "Thy faith hath saved thee." Jesus proclaimed peace between Bartimaeus and God. And now ready to go his way, his ways became going with Jesus. For we are told that he followed him, glorifying God. on this day near Jericho. The disciples did not grasp the full love of God. Following the resurrection and the fulfillment of the predicted events, they suddenly saw how the Son of God must die in order to save the world. What kind of vision, what kind of sight will Christ give to his people who follow him today? Will those who are physically blind receive physical sight? Well, maybe, perhaps, I don't know. But of this we can be certain. Christ will give real sight and understanding to those who desire to view once again the full meaning of his journey to Jerusalem, who seek his company as he carries the cross to Calvary. In the weeks that lie ahead, the facts of Christ's suffering and death will again be confronted us. The ridicule and the injustice of the mockery of the soldiers, to experience with them the pain and agony of the piercing nails, he will show us through his own eyes the utter terrors and agony of hell. And he will show us that all these things were done that we might share the mysteries of God, his eternal kingdom. May our Lord give us the sight to see in him the fulfillment of God's love. The love of God, which is described in these words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Lord, have mercy on us, that we may receive our sight. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, unto thy church thy Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that thy word, as becometh it, may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edification of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of thy holy name abide unto the very end. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.